What up, y'all?
What up, y'all?
What up, y'all? It's Panda AOD.
Gem City Nate.
Gem City Nate. And you are listening to
Baycast.
Baycast.
Hey.
Hey, Bay.
Hey.
Hey, Bay.
Hey.
Hey, Bay.
All right. Four times.
Y'all,
it's been hell.
It's been rough today with this podcast. We have started recording four times.
Tell them why.
Because I broke the holder for the iPhone. So the way we shoot our podcast, like the most convenient way, like Nate has a few cameras, so we used to use cameras, but for convenience and timeliness, we now record on the iPhone. So shout out to iPhone for that. And I broke the iPhone holder, so I will be going to get another one tomorrow because I did not realize how difficult this would be. We done tried recording on multiple stands to not have... For him not to have to go to the car.
You should see this.
For him not to have to go to the car and get his camera or have to pull his camera equipment out. We're not putting that on social media.
I'm recording that.
And so, long story short, we're jimmy rigging our setup right now until I go to the store tomorrow and get an iPhone holder clip. So, bear with us.
Yeah.
You guys won't know the difference, though.
But yeah, but what's happening? What's popping, as I should say?
So we want to talk about a few things today. The first thing I think that is very relevant and kind of a good kind of discussion is the Saweetie and Jack Harlow situation. We've seen it floating around on social media. We've seen it floating around on different...
Everywhere.
Yeah, on YouTube. And it just keeps popping up. So I'm like, okay, I want to talk about it. But I want to talk about it from this stance of when is too much or when is approaching a woman or even vice versa, a woman approaching a man too much? Like, do you have to be careful, which we know you do, but do you have to be super careful in the way you approach someone and how it comes off? And I only ask that because Jack approached Saweetie and to everyone watching or many people watching, we thought it looked like he was shooting his shot. And then he came back around and said he wasn't, because before I watched the full video, to me, it looked like he was shooting his shot. Then when he came back and said he wasn't, I'm like, maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was just being friendly. Maybe he really liked Saweetie and he was just trying to introduce himself to her as like a mutual, like, we're both artists in the industry. I respect you. I like your swag. I appreciate you.
Yeah, all right.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think he was shooting his shot. Well, nothing wrong with him shooting his shot. But he got caught and he tried to play it off. So, I mean, hey, man, shoot, just take an L. Just take an L like a champ.
So, like, what about the way he approached her made it seem like he was shooting his shot?
How he walked up on her. Every man got that walk.
So,
what? And I see it. The tape's coming off the phone.
Okay. So, every man would do that. Would walk up on her, give her the look, the up and down look.
They got the. Oh, my God. Yeah. Every man got a walk.
Well,
he looked at her, you could tell.
And I feel like there could be that. I feel like it also could be very innocent. And it could have been both of them playing the game. Maybe he didn't like Saweetie's response because it was a little bit kind of like not standoffish, but she was a little reserved. But then at the same time, maybe he was playing and he said that he wasn't interested so that maybe he thinks that would entice her to reach out. So none of us will really know if he was shooting his shot or not. But my question to you is, has there ever been a time prior to us, obviously, where you were dating or not dating, but where you were single and you wanted to approach a woman, was there ever a time where you felt like it didn't go well? Also, what were your reservations beforehand? Like, because I'm sure I had a lot of male friends in college from Stivers. Shout out to Brett, Billy, you know,
damn, Belcher. Shout out to them. But dang, why you got to put it out there like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we could cut them out. But I had a lot of male. Okay, we're going to cut that out. I had a lot of male friends in Stivers and or I had a lot of male friends in college, and some of the conversations we would have were they don't approach girls because they don't like getting rejected, which was wild to me to hear as a grown woman, you know, still young in college, but as a grown woman hearing these grown men be like, yeah, nah, like, I ain't approaching, like, I ain't trying to get turned down, when in reality, these guys, they weren't bad looking. So it's like, you don't want to approach women because you're afraid of getting turned down. But then on the woman's perspective, I'm like, well, women really don't want to approach for the same reason. So I think with our generation, it's like, is there that issue of just nobody willing to take that chance?
No, I mean, there's so many variables in it.
So I guess because I did kind of just go deep.
Right, because you went from asking me and then going to your own experiences. I'm like, all right, I'm getting where I fit in.
So with that being said, what would you, with your experiences, what would you say as far as like your negative experience?
Oh, man, shoot. It's been a bunch of them. But,
really?
Yeah. But it'll be... Whether I'm working out at the gym, which I need to get back to, I see some lady, woman, working out. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. I mean, gonna try to shoot my shot. I go up to her and just go up straight, asking, hey, how you doing? Yeah, my name, And then, and they be like, oh, no, I got a boyfriend, all this and that. I'm like, all right, cool. And just keep it pushing. And that's one thing, fellas, know when they say it, when you pretty much know it's a no, just no. Just go. Like, pretty much.
Is that negative, though? Like, if they have a girlfriend, that's not a knock to you. It's just that, you know, they're not available.
Girlfriend or boyfriend.
Yeah, they're not available. And then for you, that's great that you just kind of let it be. Like, I don't think that's a negative situation.
No, I mean.
Negative outcome.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I had plenty of girls tell me, like, oh, if I didn't have a boyfriend, I'm like, well, shit. I'm like, hey, what that going to do for me? But yeah. Oh.
Okay, so that was your negative experience. And then as far as reservations beforehand, like what would go on in your mind before you would even think, like as you're thinking about approaching a woman, what would go on in your mind?
Nah, I ain't gonna say that. But pretty
other than like stuff, like imagination type stuff. But like as far as like, But as far as like, just any type of reservation. So any doubts that you had.
For me, I would try to get an understanding, like try to get a feel for who they were. As a person, like, are they gonna look at me and gonna think like, oh, he ain't got the, I don't know, fly shoes on or this and that, or like, you kind of tell, like they say, like, nobody knows who you are or how you are until you open your mouth. And there's been times where they open their mouth and I'm like, oh man, yeah, nah. But what goes through my mind is just like, pretty much, are they gonna say no? Right off the bat. I'm like, and why?
That's crazy. And then for me, I think like negative experiences, I guess that's crazy because like you said, I was telling you that wasn't a negative experience. The one time I ever approached a guy, he said he had a girlfriend and that was the negative experience. But other than that, I've never really approached a guy. But the reason why is because I didn't want to get rejected. But not only that, I really never felt like, so I don't think anybody wants to get rejected, but I really never felt like I needed to approach a guy because I would always come across guys that I just gravitated towards, and we would kind of have that natural chemistry. So it was like I would always meet someone cool, and I'm that girl where I can be entertained by one person. Like, I don't need multiple, you know, people, multiple pots on the stove at once. So I was always cool where I was at talking to one person, and then I would talk to that person for a while. And then as that would end, I was cool with being by myself. Mm-hmm. And then that next person, just by happenstance, they would come along. So I never really had that urge to approach a guy, except for that one time. And that was in my grown life, like after my previous relationship, before I met you. And I just was like, he's cute. I want to talk to him or whatever. And he had a girlfriend. So it wasn't negative. It was awkward, but mm-hmm. whatever.
Now, I wish more women would make that move, approach, because I'm like, man, I don't see it as if, like, I always got the understanding that men should be not the chaser or whatever, but, like, you know,
the pursuer.
Yeah, the pursuer. But then it's like, it's a pleasant surprise when a woman does it, mm-hmm. because it's like, it's gonna sound lazy, but it makes it easier for the man, because, like, it don't take much for a man to be like, oh yeah, like, yeah, especially if she banging, got banging body, all that, and she cool personality, all that. I'm like, oh yeah. But then it's like, something might click in her head, like when something could have happened to her that night or something, like somebody could have pissed her off, mm-hmm. and you done nothing wrong, and she just like, oh, I don't want nothing to do with you. I'm like, dang, you done blocked your blessing.
Yeah.
Like,
So if you would have met me in person if we didn't follow each other on Instagram and you met me in person, would you have shot your shot still?
I think so.
I think so too. I'm just saying, like,
hey, you always trying to put me in the hot seat.
No, I guess the question to that is, like, with men and women, because I'm asking you, that's the only reason why I keep saying men. If you were asking me, it's the same perspective, different perspectives, same question. But is social media or, like, online dating, is that, like, a buffer? Do that give people a little more courage to reach out?
No, man, social media is hell. It's the devil.
Well, I can't say that totally, because, like, that was the start of us, even though we knew each other before.
Besides, social media is the devil. It's too much out there.
Yeah, and we talked about it before with social media. It's, like, the over-glorification. I mean, I wouldn't even say over glorification, but just like it's based off of preference, right? Like, some people love,
it's fake,
some people love, you know, as much as social media has to offer when it comes to, like, women being more bold and out there with their bodies and whoop-de-woo. For me, like, I know when I'm scrolling through Twitter, it's like a freaking porn. Sometimes it's like a porn site, and so I'm like,
there goes the ad.
So that's the thing, like, I guess it's just for preference. Like, social media is what it is. And one thing that I'm learning is that you can kind of navigate and filter your own social media. So stuff you don't want to see, you can, like...
Yeah. Because it's a daggone music page where it's got hashtag rappers. But then every time, like, I scroll past it, it got some model in a half-dress outfit or bikini. I'm like, man, what the hell? Like, I followed this because... I don't even know how I ended up following it because... Like, for a music producer, like, you put a whole bunch of hashtags and say beats, rappers, whatever machine or DAW you're using. And, like, you put that in the hashtags. And then I guess, like, the hashtag that you use the most or whatever, like, you start following, but for no apparent reason. I don't know. And then it goes from, like, actual rappers being showcased on that hashtag to women flaunting their goodies. And I'm like, man, what the hell is this?
But that's the thing, too, is, like, it's all about programming, just like marketing in general, but everything is about programming. So I don't think it's a coincidence that those women are popping up in your timeline. Just like I run a couple pages for clients who are, like, record labels and, you know, different stuff like that. And there's a lot of those pages that pop up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's because the hashtags that we use are connected to, like, the person who's promoting those pictures, whether it be a manager, whether it be the model themselves or whatever, they're using those hashtags too because we're in their age demographic. So if you're a 30-year-old male, and that's, so you're a 30-year-old male, that's your profile information, and then your hashtags are producer, beats, hip-hop, or something. They're like, oh.
Show bikinis.
No, they're like, oh, we need to use these hashtags to pop up in front of him, because that demographic probably clicks those pictures a lot. So they're telling you through their own analytics, their analytics are telling them that you're in their demographic. So then they're posting those hashtags to get those pictures seen by you, to get them liked, to drive up their engagement, for you to follow those pages. It's with everything. It's with like food we like and all of that stuff. But
it's funny you say that, because I was just thinking, I was like, man, that sounds like Chick-fil-A. I'm like, my pleasure. It's my pleasure.
So
I don't know why.
No, but yeah, so that goes right into our next topic, which is Kevin Samuels, which he literally is like turning into like a pop culture like phenomenon, honestly. Like, there's people who don't like him, there's people who think he's annoying, obnoxious, and all of that stuff, which are true in some, like, to me, I think he's very arrogant.
He's like, what do you rate yourself? Honestly.
I think he's arrogant, but I don't know. I don't watch it enough to know if he's ever rated himself. Have you seen any of that?
Nah, I ain't seen that. But
because Nate be watching him too.
Well, I'll be watching him like that. Not to say I don't watch it. I just haven't watched. I haven't stayed tuned. But
and I watched like one or two. I think I watched, maybe it was one, and it was pretty long. Whenever we were sitting on the couch,
yeah,
that
I know
was the only
mean.
Time.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But I mean, I feel like some of like, I can watch it because there is some there is good content in there. Like, it's not just a whole bunch of crap. Now, I think that he has a lot of very male chauvinistic views.
I think he's gonna say chauvinist.
But I think some of what he says is true, just to my opinion. I wouldn't even say it's true. It's what I can identify with, because a lot of his show is opinion-based and not fact-based.
Yeah.
But why do you think men gravitate towards that show so much?
Because I think they gravitate to him because he says things that a lot of men want to say and probably have already said, but because he has the platform and folks actually tune in to listen to him, that the other, you know, demographic can tune in and get an understanding from what he's saying, not only from his mouth, but from other men that think the same. But
yeah, and I think that's kind of what I was thinking too. So it's crazy that you said that, because I feel like his platform says a lot of things that men are afraid to say because they don't want to sound exactly how he sounds. Like, to be honest, there's a lot of and I wouldn't call every male who thinks that way a chauvinist, but there's a lot of like machismo type like funk that men have that is just natural, like from upbringings or whatever, where it's like some of the stuff he's saying, it sounds horrible to a lot of women. And a lot of women, we're not, that's why we probably don't watch it like men do, because men are, when I think about what women say about men, because for me, I always see both sides of the coin. I don't care for Kevin Samuels enough to watch him that much, like, but he's blowing up, so people are watching. And I definitely think that men gravitate towards it because there's a lot of things that he says that they either feel or they've said before in their mind, but they never said out loud. So even the dialogue around it gives them a piece of like, okay,
they got something to agree with.
Either agree with, or they understand how it sounds out loud, and they are able to have the conversation through watching a show that they were never able to have because they would never say it out loud themselves. And then for women, it's like, it strikes nerves with us, but at the same token, I've heard some women say some crazy stuff, and there's women who definitely say things about men that are just, you know, as bad. There's that gender roles, double standard type environment with that show, I think.
Was that a segue in there?
I mean, it can be.
No, because I didn't know that was a question.
Just, I mean, just building up on it as far as, like, just having the dialogue around that show still. Like,
I mean, I mean, he just speaks. he be speaking to women, too. It's true.
That I one see. Episode we watched last, the girl didn't want, like.
She was, she was losing her damn mind.
Yeah, like, she didn't want to, like, it was crazy because they were going back and forth for a while. And then it was about the girl who was saying, like, even if she was dating a man, they stopped dating. But while they were dating, he got her a condo, a car.
He's stupid.
Paid all her bills. Stupid. Then they stopped dating. It was still his responsibility to uphold her lifestyle until she was able to do it on her own.
He's stupid.
Which I completely disagree with that. Like, there's no way I'm expecting a man to take care of me if we're no longer in a relationship. And even when we are in a relationship, I'm just not that type of woman. No knocks to women who are, because she was saying she was doing things for him, even though that kind of got wishy-washy in the conversation.
What she meant by that, y'all know what, you know what she meant by that, doing things.
Well, she was saying, like, she was helping him with his career.
Well, yeah.
And all of that stuff. But the part about it that I don't agree with is just, like, I would never put myself in that situation to where now my livelihood is in this person's hands. Like, I'm going, if we're not married, I'm going to pay my rent. If we're not married, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And even if we are married, there's got to be, like, some understanding or agreement. If you're working and you bringing home all the money and then we have kids, I ain't going to knock on wood because I do want kids, but just not no time soon. But if when we get married and if we have kids, it's like, okay, you want to be the, all right, babe, I'm going to go out there and get the money. You stay home with the kids because it's going to cost us more in childcare than it would if you just stay home with the kids and work from home, because I can actually do that. So it's like, okay, cool.
I mean, you got to have some sense of purpose. Like, and that's what all this ties together with. I feel with even this sweetie, sawitie incident, like, just mindset going into the gender roles of how Kevin Samuels be talking to these women. I feel like this generation of women and young ladies have an entitlement type mindset.
You said they have or fab?
I said have.
Okay.
Have. I said have. Have a sense of entitlement.
Okay. And so elaborate on that. Why do you feel like women in this gen, what makes you feel that way?
Because it's every, the first thing, some women, not all women, some women that be coming out of their mouth is, like, materialistic. Like, when they want a man, like, they want, when they want someone to provide for them, they like, I want someone to get me a car, I want someone to get me a house, I want someone with good credit, I want someone. I'm like, you want all these things from the other half, but what is it that you bring into the table to contribute to that as a whole? Like, it's like, you're not, like, in a relationship, you're going into it wanting, receiving instead of giving and nurturing.
Yeah.
So some I don't know where it came from.
I agree with that, but what if the woman, so it's different if, so if a woman is like, I want this man to do X, Y, and Z for me, that's her requirements to even get into a relationship.
And then what is it? That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what most, because it's like, what is it that you doing? And then the lady that was on Kevin Samuels, when she was talking about, like, she helped so and so with the career, whatever, yada, we know what that was. But I mean, what were you doing? You felt entitled to keep the car that he paid for that's under his name, to stay in the condo that's under his name.
Yeah, that was just bizarre. So, I don't know, man. Some women think that's okay, but, like, it ain't. That was bizarre to me.
It ain't.
And then the flip side to that I was going to say is, like, but a woman who says, okay, I want my man to have good credit. I want my man to have a house. I want him to have a car. Like, these are stipulations prior to getting in a relationship. But she's not saying she wants him to give those to her. She's saying she wants him to have that for himself. And then in return, she has the same. I think that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. But I'm just saying, like,
So it's just different people, for real. Different types of people. And there are men who do, Like, even the man that she was talking about, he let her continue to live there. So, I mean,
stupid.
There's reasons why that mindset exists, because there's some women who really, those are their ones. And there's some men out there who will give into that just because they want to be with that woman for whatever
the body
reason at that time.
The body. I'm going to be real with y'all. Like, for most women that, like, the IG models, whatever, the men is doing it for the body.
And sometimes there's men who may not be that attractive themselves, and they're willing to do pay out like that because
they tricking. They got the funds, and she looking for somebody just like, you know, give her that lifestyle. I mean, it's nothing. I don't feel like it's anything genuine.
But there's always a give and take too. Like, every situation is case by case, and I think everybody has their reasons of why they get into the relationship with the other person. But for me, my standards, nah. And if I have have daughters, I don't want my daughter being raised to even want from a man. I don't want my daughter to feel like she doesn't need a man or a partner. Like, I want her to feel like she wants, if that's what she wants, I want her to feel like she wants, I want her to feel love, like a strong love, the same love I grew up seeing from my mom and dad, and then the love that I see with your mom and dad, and the love that you have, like, just our moral values of family. I want my kids to be raised like that, and that comes with understanding how to get it on your own, how to, you know, work hard, how to, you know, make decisions that will take you to the best, put you in the best situation for yourself, not tied to anybody else. And then when you do find a partner, you know, finding somebody that's going to ride for you as hard as you're going to ride for them, and not just in a way of like, oh, we locked in, so I'm your wife, you my husband, ain't nobody going to fuck with this. No, it got to go deeper than that. So it has to be, what are your goals? How are we going to reach those goals? What are the things that are, you know, weighing on you? How can we break those down? Like, I want my kids to understand healthy relationship building, and it's not tied to materialistic things. And sons, too.
Yeah. My daughter ain't going to know a husband until 40.
That's a lie. But anyway. also, like, in that, I guess we should definitely mention that, too. Like, yes, there are things that are looked at as, like, gender roles. But when it comes to us, that doesn't exist. It's more so like morals, mutual respect, things like that. Nate always talking about me when I burp. Excuse me.
Excuse me.
But no.
Excuse me.
But no. I do think that with us, it's not like, definitely you're protective and you're like manly and you are there. Like, you are that strength for me. But I'm also a strong-willed woman. Like, you, it's not easy.
Oh, shit.
It's not easy. Like, there's definitely, you hear my mouth sometimes. But I think that's important to note, because it's not a gender role thing, though. Like, we both wash dishes. We both cook. We both clean.
Yeah, we cook.
And so, with a son and a daughter, it's the same thing. Like, as much as I'm saying I want my daughter to not, you know, have these materialistic values or want from a man, I want my son to not have materialistic values and to want from a woman. I want them to bring their own to the table, and I want their significant others to bring their own to the table, and I want them to have morals that align and all of that stuff.
Yeah. I don't want my son falling in love with a big ass.
So, like, I don't think everybody's, like, there's a lot of men who are infatuated.
Let's spill the tea. Let's talk about the tea.
There's a lot of men who are infatuated with a big butt.
A wagon.
It's so funny because I just started hearing that term this year. But there's a lot of men who are infatuated with that. But there's some men who that's not. Like, it's funny how every time when you talk about women, it's like...
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
No, but when you... Every time I talk about women. You know when we talk about... Okay. When we talk about the draw or the attraction to the other sex. Like, when I talk about men, you talk about women. Mm-hmm. Your main point of focus is like, nah, I ain't getting
tricked. Hold on. In the words of Kevin on stage, the butt.
The butt. It's like, I'm not getting tripped up on a big butt. Like, I'm not. He gonna get stuck on a big. And I'm just like, is that it? Like, there's so many other things dudes get caught up on. Pretty eyes, nice lips, a banging personality,
all that,
a beautiful spirit,
and all that comes down to the bot.
All right, anyway,
you brought it up.
The final, and y'all, I have a very modest butt. Like,
are you gonna talk about your butt on?
Well, you talking about how, you know, I ain't big talking about nobody specific. Thing. I'm just saying, and I'm one of those girls where I have a nice shape, but I don't have no Juicy Judy booty.
Where the hell we get to that? We want to talk about nobody specific. You just talking about a part of an anatomy of the body.
But like I was saying.
No pun intended.
So the next topic, the final topic today is Chris Paul. And so.
Oh, man.
The Suns.
Deuces. That's it. That's all we got to say about that. That's a wrap.
What we want to discuss is. Oh my god, I'm not laughing at the game, I'm laughing at what happened before this that we're cutting out
three times.
But so with the Suns and the Bucks, the one thing that we wanted the Suns to win, we wanted Chris Paul to finally get his ring. It was a good game, like, yeah. Whew, them teams, they definitely deserve to be in the finals this year. Mm. But one thing that came out of that, watching the series and then seeing it end the way it did, was how do you respond, or how do you cope with or deal with not realizing a goal? Like, you have this goal that you want, and sometimes we know that we pursue things and the cards just do not fall in our favor. So how do you cope with not reaching a goal?
Well, I can say I had similar experiences, but I also had the next year to follow up and try to, you know, change that. But I don't see it with him, because he's like 36 or something. He up there in age. So I don't know. But how I cope with it, I ain't gonna lie, that shit tough. That shit hard. Mm. Because there's been times where, say for instance, freshman year basketball, Heidelberg, we went to the finals in the conference finals, and we lost, and we never went back since. Freshman year, I was ranked number one in the nation in high jump, and went to nationals and didn't make a height at all. So I was crushed, and that was like the one and not the only meet my parents went to, but the only national meet my parents went to. And I just stunk it up. And then, yeah, I had a couple moments, but then, you know, I had some good ones too. Won nationals. But yeah, those two, how I cope with those, I just had to sit in it and think about it.
Yeah. And I think I've definitely had moments where it was like, I saw the goal and it was there, but it just didn't happen. And that was, I feel like you hit those points a lot more the older you get, because you just have new, if you're always trying to get better and grow and diversify, like, just, you know, things that you're involved in, you're going to be charting new territory time after time. You're going to have goals that come up and things you want to obtain. And that's what kind of projects you to, like, keep going, like, to wake up and give it your all. So I think it's a beautiful thing, but it also is very tough to kind of not realize certain goals. Like, for me, I think the toughest goal that I probably didn't realize was probably with my job, my past job, my employer that I ended up walking away from. during like the thick of COVID, after Nate and I got COVID, going back to work and just being like, this isn't for me. I think that was tough because I really had a goal of climbing in the corporate world, and I had climbed pretty fast initially. So like I was hitting this hump and I just couldn't get over it. And at first I attributed it to myself and I was like, Shonda, like every day you come to work, you got to give it like 200%. You got to go hard. You got to get stuff done. You got to go above and beyond because there's no reason you should leave nothing on the table as to why you shouldn't get this promotion, as to why you shouldn't get this raise. And that was tough. And then eventually, like towards the end of my employment, which is what led up to me leaving, I realized that it wasn't me. Like, I'm not the issue. The issue is someone who just adamantly does not want me to obtain more. Someone who wants me to stay in my place, essentially. And so I guess rationalizing it in my mind helped. There's not always situations where it's not your fault necessarily. Like, obviously, when you are trying to win a championship or anything like that, you're going to feel like it's your fault. You're going to be like, I could have did more. But at the same time, no matter whether you feel like it's not your fault or it is your fault, the cards are going to fall how they're going to fall regardless. Like, what's meant to be for you will be meant to be for you. But I think it's definitely hard to cope with it because you feel let down or disappointed in yourself. I still felt disappointed that my journey didn't pan out how it was supposed to, like in my initial vision. But then that just pushed me to my next step, which manifested into me working for myself, working from home or working from wherever I want to work and having multiple clients who trust me with their brands and their businesses. So it's still not a perfect journey. I feel like I wake up every day with goals and things to obtain, and I'm learning not to be as hard on myself, but still holding myself accountable. And I mean, as long as you keep, there was something that Kobe said, which was when they asked him about the rings he could have got, because he said, you know, if Shaq was on it more, they could have got more rings, or if he had more play time. When he was first in the league, then he would have had more records or higher records because those minutes would have counted. And then they asked him, like, you know, well, do you regret the way things happened, the way things panned out? And he said, no. He said, yeah, it sucks when I think about it, but I had these goals and these were my goals. And sometimes things don't work out. And that is now the challenge, is living with that, understanding why it happened that way and being okay with that.
Yeah, that's how I was thinking when I wanted to play basketball, but yeah, it didn't pan out. So, but that other talents that I can use that's get me to where I am now, as far as doing what I'm doing, as far as videography and, you know, drawing, all that other good stuff. I mean, that I had in my back pocket while I was doing basketball, and now basketball is done with, I can focus more on what my original talents were, and you know, just see where that goes. But yeah, no regrets.
Yeah, and I will say that I never knew you had all those talents. Like, I didn't know any of those things existed. So when we started dating, that's why I was like, okay, you really need to pursue this, because it's like I didn't even account or think about, like, why isn't he playing ball, or like, you know, what happened with that. I just was like so blown away, like, at the talent that I saw in front of me. So that's another thing, is like, we're so dimensional that we have to realize that when one door closes, another one opens. As cliche as that sounds, I think that's just like it. We've seen how Kobe was at the end of his basketball career, and then this whole nother world of creativity and just brilliance opened up. And so I think that if we just understand how dimensional we are, if one door closes, then we just open another door. It's easier said than done. Everybody's going to have their struggles, but it is what it is.
But you got the key to open that door.
They'll say, but you live. You live to fight another day.
Don't mess it up. Now, you talking about editing stuff out. I'm editing that out.
Okay.
So I'm keeping that third.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
But all right, y'all. So that's all we got. Like we said, it's been a long shooting experience. We done had many hiccups today, but we still wanted to put this episode out. We appreciate y'all. It was not all my fault.
You broke the clamp. It's all your fault.
I'll be getting a new clamp. I for sure will be getting a new clamp today or tomorrow, whatever time we got. But
right now.
But all right, y'all. We gonna see y'all soon. We love you. Thank you for continuing to tune in. Peace.
Love.
Bae.
Bae cast.